We are on Tzadik Tesamid Beis. We talked about Menashe's questioning Achayis Loitzim Timna. We're middle saying that that's Megal upon him because he questioned the thing, and we said what is the purpose? So we said that she was a Bas Malachim, and she became a Pelegus to Eliphaz because she wanted to become a Giyaris, and Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov did not accept her. So he mentioned two opinions why they didn't accept her. Either they questioned her sincerity, they thought maybe she's being Megayer only to get a good marriage, or because she was a Mamzeres, and before Matan Torah, they didn't want a Mamzeres mixing into Klal Yisrael. Those are two of the Terutzim said, I think there are others also, and why they refused to accept her. She didn't take no for an answer. She went to Esav, married Eliphaz, not married, became his sluggish, and through that Amalek came out. I saw a third answer, that they saw Ra in her. They saw the seeds of Amalek, and therefore they didn't want to accept her because they didn't know what kind of Ra would come out of her. So she went and married Eliphaz, where the Ra did come out in its most terrible form, named Amalek, and he is a result of that. Okay, we are up to now one, two, third line in the widest lines.
Yeah, but did she do Ra yet?
They see. You're asking me, it's not a fair question. Today we wouldn't be able to tell such things. They were able to see that she's not supposed to be part of Klal Yisrael. Yeah, that's what some say. Again, there's many Terutzim. You don't like this terrace, take the other terrace. Yes.
It's interesting. The third shot that Ravarkar mentioned in the Shara Ava, the latest book at the beginning, talks about the attraction that Ra has for good Kedusha, which is obviously, I mean, it's actually a double push because it has to have some sort of fear. It's only has no fear for its own. So he speaks of a different instance, which is Shechem and Dina. Now, it's interesting that from Shechem and Dina came out Ozna, who was Roy to bring out two Shvatim. Whereas from...
Okay, I think we're off the subject, if you don't mind me saying so. I think we're going far and wide. That's my writer. Vayelach Reuven b'meich tzir chitim amar rabba bar yitzchak amar rabba mekan l'tzadikim shem parshtim midayim begezel. What is the purpose for us to know that he took flowers? Terry says it was the time of the harvest of the wheat. He could have picked up wheat, he could have stolen wheat, but they don't steal wheat, they take things that people don't care about, that is hefker. That's why the Torah tells me it was in the wheat season, wheat harvest season. What does he pick from the fields? Something that no one cares about, which is these flowers.
What's the
milestone? To say that they're very careful not to say steal things.
In a Levaya, if a person would say about someone he didn't steal, I don't think that would be the greatest.
Yeah, I think it is the greatest thing. I hate to say this. I think it would be one of the greatest things you can say about somebody. I beg to differ. Yes.
The mile might be increased by noting that at the time Reuben is only 7 or 8. And he still is the constant.
It's true. Okay, but a 7 and 8 of those days are not a 7 and 8 of today.
But that's exactly the point here.
Well, he's not 7 and 8. He's, depends. He might have been about 13. Shimon and Levi were 13 at Shem. I don't know how.
So this is still several years before. He's older than Shimon and Levi.
He's older than Shimon and Levi. Right, this is happening on the way back, or is this happening still in Lavan's house? This is still happening in Lavan's house. So the time in Lavan's house, he was younger. I'm a Rav Yavruchi. Yavruchi is, Rashi says he doesn't know. Levi, I'm a Sigli. I believe Sigli is violet. Am I right?
Rashi translates Sigli as violet.
Sviski is a kind of spice. Now, in Chumash, they translate it as jasmine.
Yeah.
I think that's what they translate Yavruchi, Zudoim as jasmine, I think. Rashi here translates Sigli as violet. Rashi and Brachas also translates Sigli as violet. So, again, I don't know.
I've seen it also brought as mandrake.
What?
I've seen it also brought as mandrake.
Okay. They're all the same to me, except for violets, because I know the song. Roses are red and violets are blue, but that's about the only thing I know about violets. Rashi, Yavruchi.
I'll bring Rabbi Margaret Jasmine.
After they harvested the field, everybody's allowed to enter the field. He still didn't take only Avruchi, because the Marachmina will asparish Mari. Doesn't say exactly what it is. Sigli v'simsuki v'simsuch minu nacherim. Sigli is ikri asabim. It's the root of, it's some kind of root, v'minib samim. V'moa shal oisim samim kori sigli. Rashi and Brocha says it's violet. Siski nami min b'samim, it's a kind of spice. Hamarabon k'tabi. Kala oisim b'tayra l'shma, when he learns tayra l'shma, meisim shalom b'pamaya shamayla, and b'pamaya shamata. Makes peace, both in the Pamalia, is translated as
heavenly hosts.
Heavenly hosts, and in the hosts down here. Meaning, Tyra is a peacemaker. Because Tyra increases the person's ability to use everything in the world to the right purpose, and therefore it creates peace. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, a Yakzek the Meuzi, if he holds on to my strength, Yaseh shalom li, shalom yaseh li. He'll make peace for me, once for up, once for down. Rashi, Ma'uzi, Tyra, shalom, shalom, Tarti, Zim, Nechad, Lamayla, Vechad, Lamata. The Mepharshim do speak about exactly what is this peace that's being made, the Pamayu Shamayla, exactly. Meaning, what exactly is happening, the Pamayu Shamayla. So there's different Peshatim. One I saw is that the Sarim of the different Umayis fight when there's war down here, and Tyra is a war preventive, and therefore it makes peace with Hamayi Shemayla as well. Other B'shatim, I don't remember, but basically saying that the Limud HaTyra creates a certain harmony and peace throughout all of existence. Right. That is true. Pasha B'shatim, that is that Eishemayim get along. But that's, the Rabbeinu Shlomo created peace in this. I don't know. That's the Gemara B'shatim. Rav Amar ki lubana paltur and shamayla v'shamata. It's as if he built the palace of above and of down. Shenemar v'asim dvori b'ficha. I will put my words in dvori b'ficha. V'tzeo yodi kisisicha. I covered you in the shade of my hand. V'ntayah shamayim, to plant the sky. V'lisad aretz, and to make the foundation of the world. Okay, and so it means when you say Tyra, you are planting the sky and making foundations of the world. You are giving existence. You are giving the ability for the world to exist. Shem Chaim Veloshin, it says, without Tyra, the world goes. If there's a moment without Limud HaTyra, there's no world. And therefore, one of the reasons the Rabbeinu Shlomo made the world go with different times across the world, different time zones, is because to make sure that at all times there is Limud HaTyra. So through Limud HaTyra we are building Palter and Shamayla, the Shamata. We are giving existence to the world. Rashi, Palter and Shamayla, Shamata, Gedachsiv, Lantaya, Shamayim, to plant the sky, Elisad Aretz, to create a foundation for the ground. That's the Gemara writer. Vechonamav Megan Akolayim Kulay, protects the world. Shenamu B'tzel Yodi Tzisicha, with the shade of my hand, I have covered you. It means it provides shade, it provides protection. Maybe I'm out of Makariv Sagula. It brings Mashiach closer. Shenamar Velema Lutzia and Amiata Pasuk ends and Tatal Tzia, and you are my nation. I'm a Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says, now the Gon has over here, the Gra over here, I think, has the order different. Meaning, we have Rish Lakish first, Rav Lazar second, Rav third, and Rav fourth. The Gra has Rav Lazar first, and Rav second, and Rish Lakish third, and Rav fourth. Why, I don't know, but he has a different order than we have. So I'm going to read it in our order. But for some reason, the Gra seems to think, at least that's the way the Mepharshim understand the Gra, that the order of these statements should have the first statement as number 3, and then 2, it should be 2, 3, 1, 4. Meaning that's how he has his, he thinks it should be organized. Amar Rish Lakish. Kamalamed is ben chavei retaira ma'al olav kilu akasav kilu asai. If somebody teaches his friend's son Taira, the Taira considers him as if he created him. The nefesh that they created in Charan, this week's parsha, right? It says that Avraham Avinu and Sarah made nefashas. How do you make nefashas? So Rashi explains, they were makarav them tachas kamfei hashchina. So by being makar of somebody into under the Shechina, you are creating them. So therefore, one who teaches somebody Torah is like he created them. I found something that I had said once in a Chumash year, and I found it in the Teres Chaim over here in this Gemara. Teres Chaim in this Gemara asks, why does it say Kamalamed is Ben Chaveira Torah? Why doesn't it say Kamalamed is Chaveira Torah Kilu Yeladai? You teach anybody Torah, it's like you like Asai. It's like if you made him Adul Chazal Kilu Yeladai. Why is it as Ben Chaveira Torah? So the Teres Chaim says that we usually attribute that the parents make the child. They create the child. They create the child. They're the ones that make the child. However, there's two parts to making the child. There's the physical child, and there's the spiritual child. The ruach is the child. So what the Chazal are telling us is that it's the parents create the child. They give the child his ability to exist in this world, physically. If someone else teaches, the father's obligation is also to teach the kid Torah, to give him his spiritual existence. That also is supposed to come from the parents. If somebody is melamed as ben chaveira Torah, that is, he becomes a kind of parent. He joins into the parenting of the child, in the creation of the child being a complete person, because the complete person is the physicality and the spirituality of the person, and by adding Torah, he's adding the spirituality into the child that makes the child function as a servant of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. So therefore, it's Ben Chaveira Torah. This person has parents. This person has parents who've established him, have given him the tools to exist in this world. By him adding Torah into the mix, he's finishing that establishing. So that's what Chazal make it as Ben Chaveira Torah. He's got parents. Now this person who teaches him Torah becomes the third parent, so to speak. He becomes the third one to help create the Shlemus. Right. That's why it says Ben Chaveira Torah. Yes. Yeah, but ever they brought him in, the Zayim Mitzvahs. Pashtus is the Zayim Mitzvahs.
It wasn't just like...
No, it's to teach him, Pashtus, the Mepharshim learned to teach him Zayim Mitzvahs. Not written.
Yep, they were sitting there learning something more than
Zayin Mitzvahs. In Shayin Shayin Shayin, they were, but in Nevesh HaShar Asu B'Choran, they learned that Avraham Avinu got them to keep the Zayin Mitzvahs. I believe the Rabbeinu B'Chai says it
beferish. And they kept it up after they...
I have no idea. There's some that claim, and I have no evidence, but it's based on Rabbeinu B'Chai also, that Confucius was a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. Because it says that Avraham Avinu's people went to the Kedem, to the east. And historically speaking, Confucius lived in that era. And some of Confucius's things, again, I don't know anything about Confucius, except that I heard his name in history back in 7th grade, something to do that he seems to say over things that sound that they have a source in some kind of... And there are those that claim that that thought process came from those who went around. Again, who else
so he was there? East for his own descendants, not the next.
No, it says also in the Rishayim that his Tamidim left afterwards and went east. That said in the Rishayim, yes.
It would seem there would need to be somewhat more than simply time mitzvahs, as Noach knew the difference between Torah and
No, hold on a second. I did not say that it was no more than Zion mitzvahs. All I said was that the Rishayim learned Nefesh Asher Asu B'choran, that they got them to keep Zayim Mitzvahs. That's what it means. It says, Avraham Megayeres Anoshim, Mesorim Megayeres Es Anoshim. What Geirus was it referring to? Nothing to, I'm not saying that Avraham Avinu didn't learn Torah. I'm not saying he didn't keep all Tayag, because I'll say he did. What I'm saying is that what he taught, when he was Makar of these people, he was taking them away from Avodah Zarah and teaching them the Zayim Mitzvahs to keep, one of them being not being an Eved Avodah Zarah. And therefore, that's the Geirus that is referred to. That's all I'm saying.
Did Rebbe ever see that some people, again, I'm going to say this that I was to be wrong, maybe, that none of these people really stayed Yidden?
Well, they obviously didn't. Because he never made them Yidden. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think Megayer is
what Rebbe said. Megayer means he got them to keep Zayim Mitzvahs. There was no Judaism.
When Yaakov went down, only 7
That's his descendants, his children. Megayer Anashim and Nashim means he taught them Zayim Mitzvahs. These were people that worshipped idols, and he got them away from idol worship. Now, again, I have nothing to do, but those who claim and speculate that Confucius had something to do with that, with being influenced, is because Confucius is against idol worshipping. Am I true? Am I not true? I don't know. I don't know nothing about it. I assume you read Confucius. I didn't.
As long as you don't consider ancestor worship to be idol worship, then yes, but there's...
Fine. Somebody who teaches his friend's kid Tyra as if he created the Tyra. Yes. Right? Shanemar, Ushmartim as Divri Abis Azayz Vasisim Oizam. Some of us learn it's that he creates Chidushe Tyra. One arrives at different conclusions once one teaches Tyra. And therefore, by teaching, he creates Tyra, meaning he comes to truth of Tyra that his Talmidim bring him to. That's what some want to learn. What am I up to? Yeah, Amar Rabbi Amar Kilo Asuli Atzmai. He perfects himself. Teaching helps the Rebbe perfect himself. Amar Rabbi Vo. Kamasas Chaver. This is the thing. So therefore, the Gaon just puts Reb Lozer and Rava before he puts Reish Lakish. I don't know why. Rashi, Asher Asu Becharon Dem Tagminan, the Shabidu Loi Raisa Becharon Dem Meshabed Dem to the Torah. The Karalu Asiya. And again, if I remember correctly, Rabbi Nebuchai is the one that says it means they got them to keep the Shavimitz. Tatek Mavai Tamar Bavo Kol Asas Chaver Lutar Mitzvah Malol Vakosav Kiilu Asai. If you force a person. Force doesn't have to mean physically force. It means you persuade a person to do a mitzvah. It's as if you did it. And the staff that you hit the pond, the nilus, the river. Since Moshe is the one that told Aaron to do it, it's considered like he did it. Moshe, even though he didn't have to do much persuasion, he just told Aaron to do it, but it's called that he got him to do it. Like he did it. Rashi, Asher, Kilo Asulai to Dvar Mitzvah. Now, here there's a contradiction in Chazal. There's a Chazal that say, God Lama'ase Yaisim and Aisa, the one who persuades is greater than the one that does the Mitzvah. Here it says, it's like he did the Mitzvah. This is a question that dealt with in the Achrayim, and that is, there seems to be an apparent contradiction between Chazal. Is the one who persuades somebody to do a Mitzvah greater than the one that does the Mitzvah? Or equal to the one that does the mitzvah. So there are many answers said. The one that I remember offhand is that if you persuade a lot of people to do it, then it's greater than the one that does the mitzvah. If you persuade one person to do it, then you're equal to the one that did the mitzvah. Even though there are those that argue with that as well, and they make different differences, I should say, between the two chazal. But this is the one I remember offhand. I think the Trisha says it, or the Prisha says it. Yes.
Here, what kind of persuasion was there? It's like just said to do it.
No, but the statement says, "Kamatzus chaveru l'dvar mitzvah, ma'alol avakolav
bring."
I understand, but again, what is the statement? When you ma'atzus someone to mitzvah, you better, you greater, or you equal?
So if it's just telling him to do it and he does it, then that's
healing. Okay.
But if you did it, if persuade really, it's greater.
Okay, so then you'll have to get into the gray area of what's one and what's the other. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you because I told you I saw one chapter.
You might have to
know
when you have a choice.
No, it makes no difference. Just the quoting Chazal, you know, what is it? Is it better or is it the same? And there's no difference from my side.
Scorekeeper, so what's the difference?
That's true. Right.
So what are they arguing?
They want to know Pshat and Chazal. Is it a contradiction in Chazal? They're reading Chazal. They want to understand the Chazal. One says one way, one says the other way. They want to know what, how to reconcile the two.
I don't understand what...
They want to know how to learn Chazal. When you have a contradiction in Chazal, you want to know, is it an argument? Is it two opinions? Is it differences in time? Not that we keep score, but to translate Chazal. What are you supposed to do when you have Chazal that say two different things? You try to reconcile it. Or say it's two different opinions. That's the Gemara by Apikiris. Now the word Apikiris has its root, it seems to be a Machlokes. Some Rishonim, the word apikiris comes from the word hefker. That's what some learn. There's an Aruch that says that there was a Greek philosopher named Apikiris. And therefore, anybody who veered off the proper Torah Hashkafa and started believing in other things was named an Apikiris because he's like a follower of that great Greek philosopher named Apikiris. That's what some want to say.
Epicurus?
Okay, so that's what they named Epicurus is the father of Epicurism. That's what the Aruch says. He's a Rishon. He did?
Yeah.
Okay, so there goes that theory. I thought he lived before that.
That's a check.
Okay.
The Rashba was a very good Jew also.
Who?
The Rashba was a very good Jew also.
What do you mean to say?
He said the part was based on the Rashba.
I said Rashba. I said Rabbeinu Bechai says he went east.
Rabbeinu Bechai
says they went east. He didn't say it's Confucius.
Okay, good.
He just said they went east. They could have gone east and lived in Mongolia, you know what I mean? It didn't have to end up in China. You know, there's other places in the east. It could be in Indonesia, you know what I mean? It doesn't say where he went. It just says they went east.
They speak about Hinduism starting around the time of Adam.
Well, Hinduism is pure Avodah Zarah. There ain't no greater Avodah Zarah than Hinduism.
It's Jewish.
Yeah,
the rest
is similar. Right. Okay, that's my advice, Happy Kairos. Rabbi Reb Chanina, Amr Tavayu, Zamavasa, Tamachachem. Now, Apikiris includes many things. The Gemara here seems to, I think, set parameters. Meaning, I think the Gemara is out to set parameters, even though the Gemara later on says, seems to indicate that we're trying to define the word. Because there's a problem. Because we refer to Apikiris as one who doesn't believe in the 39 Imamans. There's many, Apikiris is a very generically used term. But in the Mishnah, it seems that we're using it for a more specific kind of behavior. We generically use Apikiris for anybody that veers off Torah true Judaism with theologically. Or that he starts questioning our belief system. So we call him an Apikiris. The Gemara seems to be using it in a much more specific way of a certain act. So the Gemara is saying the act of an apikiris is someone who's mevaza tamachachem. Because a kaifer betaira, the Mishnah calls a kaifer betaira. Kaifer, one who doesn't believe in the 39 imamans, the Mishnah calls him a min. So, the name apikiris is being called to someone who embarrasses tamid hachamim, which is a way of being hefker, meaning not recognizing the authority of Torah. One who embarrasses Talmid Chachamim is not recognizing the authority of Torah. Now the Radvaz says, I want to put this into the system at the beginning, that all these Averis that we're going to be talking about here, about Apikiris, is someone who engages on it on a constant basis. He's Ragol B'Kach. One who once in his life was Mevazet HaMachachem is not an Apikiris. Apikiris means it's a mode of behavior. One who does not accept the authority of Torah and is mevaza tamid chachamim, which means he doesn't accept the authority of Torah, is an apikiris, and he loses his chelik b'olam haba. Yes.
What does mevaza mean? What is he doing?
Degrading.
So he's not engaging in an honest intellectual argument. He's being insulting in some way.
Degrading, questioning, not. An honest intellectual argument is not degrading the person in front of you. It is arguing whether, you know, and trying to figure out.
This word implies some sort of personal attack.
Correct.
Kind of insult.
Insult to either the person or the institution that he stands for. Namely, Tyra.
But I just want to make sure it doesn't mean to disagree and say these truths that you hold to be self-evident, so to speak, are not self-evident to me, and here's why. That's not a denigration.
No, that's not a denigration. That's the ability to question. Now, again, that same words can be spoken mockingly,
right.
And then it is a degradation. Yeah. Denigration, is that the word? Yeah. What's the difference in denigration and degradation?
Denigrate.
Denigrate,
man.
So it seems like you say, you know, Rebbe, I
have a
confidence here, that's one thing. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Well, right. If he says you don't know what you're talking about in a denigrating way, then it would be a mevazet hamacham, correct. Okay. You had a question? Yes.
Well, no, if you want to have a real definitional difference, to degrade something is to make it less functional, less useful, to make it worse. To denigrate something is to make fun of it, to say bad things about it. And if I say about Shmuley that, you know, he stinks, it doesn't
degrade him, it denigrates him.
But if I degrade the engine of my car,
I understand. Fine. Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Shulman, Rabbi Yemez, I'm a vazah chaverim b'fnei tam chacham. Not only a person that's a vazah tam chacham, but also one who embarrasses his friend in front of a tam chacham. Again, that shows that the person, the tam chacham in front of him, doesn't mean enough for him that his behavior should be on a higher level. If he's willing to denigrate his friend in front of the tam chacham, that means there's no awe, there's no respect in front of the tam chacham, because if it would be, he would be behaving in a more proper way. Now, he could denigrate his friend outside, but not in front of the Tamagachim. If you understand that the one who embarrasses the friend is the Apikiris Havi, so then Mavazah Tamagachim, Asma Megalopanim B'Tairish Loikalocha Havi. We still haven't translated Megalopanim B'Taira, right? So, we did mention that Menashe wasn't Megalopanim B'Taira, but that's the Gemara's answer here. I mentioned it because that's what the Gemara is going to say. But the Havmin is that Megalopanim B'Taira is also a denigration of Talmid HaChachamim. So we're trying to figure out what is the difference in levels between denigration of Apikiris and denigration of Megalopanim. So we're saying, according to the Mandamah that says, embarrassing your friend is Apikiris, embarrassing the Talmid HaChachamim is Megalopanim B'Taira Shalai Kalacha, a higher level of denigration. Sorry, Megalopanim B'Taira is the Mevazah Tam Mechokim, it's a higher form of denigration. If you're going to say that Apikiris means you denigrate the Tam Mechokim directly, so Megalopanim B'Taira Kamanag Mai. So what is Megalopanim B'Taira? That's the Gemara Gam Menashe B'Chizkiya. Menashe B'Chizkiya is the one that questioned the legitimacy, the necessity, or the meaning of Sukkim. That's Megalopanim B'Taira. Now he wasn't questioning coming to the Rebbe and saying, what is Pshat in the Pasuk? He was saying, it's totally unnecessary, waste of space, waste of time, waste of ink. That is called Megalopanim B'Taira Shalai Kalach. Tashi, Megalopanim B'Taira, Meis Panim Kalapi Oitzki Taira. He's audacious to those who toil in Taira. Megalopanim Mashid Amelon the Chomim Apikiris. In the Gemara, Megalopanim seems to sound worse than Apikiris. Apikiris has Isbeav Karusa Ba'alma. Apikiris seems to be somebody who just is hefkerdik, is like lack of control. So for sure, embarrassing your friend is not megalopanim. So for hashda mayni no megalopanim. He said his drushes are false drushes, meaning questioning the legitimacy of certain sukkim in the Taira. That's the Gemara Vayter. Ikka di Amri. Some learned this argument on Megalopanim B'Taira. Rav Reb Chanina, Armiza Mevazah Tam Chacham. Rav Reb Chanina said that Mevazah Tam Chacham is a Megalopanim. Reb Yechon Shimon Levi Armiza Mevazah Chaver Mei Tam Chacham. That included in Megalopanim is even somebody who embarrasses his friend. So Mishnah of the Madam Mevazah Tam Chacham asking Megalopanim B'Taira Ravi, the one that says directly at the Tam Chacham is Megalopanim. So Mevazah Chaver Mei Tam Chacham Chapakiris Ravi. But even if embarrassing your friend goes under Megalopanim, it's Apikiris Kigaman. Who would be an Apikiris? Those who say, what do the rabbis help us? The Dikaru, the Ditanu, they're learning for themselves, Chumash, they're learning for themselves, Mishnayas. What do they help the world? They're wasting their time, right? Unfortunately, those that say, people are bunk fetchers, sitting on the benches, not productive members of society. Those who claim Talmid Chacham are non-productive members of society would become under the classification of an Apikiris. So the Gemara seems to say. Those who constantly say it, again, if somebody says it once, it would not qualify him for that title. Vashi, Ikud HaMasma, same for the bride, Tony Mekanam Rabbaz, I'm Galapanam Batayra, Rabbi Bukhalina. They don't realize that those people who are learning are keeping the world going. And they're questioning that. What are they doing for us? They're doing it for themselves. Amalei Abaya Hai Megalapanim B'Tayra Namiu. This is Megalapanim B'Tayra, because this is denying something that's written explicitly in the Torah. To say, in Loibarisi, if not of my covenant of Torah, Yaimam V'Layla, day and night, Chukah Shemayim V'Aretz, the laws of the sky and the earth, Loisamti. The Torah keeps the world going. So obviously those who learn the Torah are people who keep the world going. So it's more than just an apikairis. It's denying a pasuk. From the following pasuk, we also see right when the tzaddikim are in Zayim, they can save Zayim. So we see that the righteous people, and we're equating righteous with people that learn Torah, can save a city. So obviously they're doing benefit to the world. Ella, this is the apikairis. When the yasim duchta kamei the rabbi sitting in front of his rabbi. And how does he translate that?
When he recalls a teaching from a place.
He recalls. I didn't know how to learn that. He recalls a teaching from a different place. He says, we say that over there. And he doesn't say, the Rebbe said there. When he's questioning the Rebbe from a different place, he does it in a lack of respect. Rather than in a respectful way, that's about the Kairos. Shows lack of respect to his Rebbe. So, the first caution held that Apikairos is somebody that denigrates his Rebbe or denigrates a friend in front of his Rebbe. Second caution is saying that Apikairos is someone who speaks to his Rebbe with lack of respect and in a audacious manner. Rashi? Denying what's written in the Torah. They give a pleasure to the world. And he's saying it doesn't help at all. The tzaddikim help others.
Why
is the question
itself?
I think it means one who shows a face of. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what the words Megalopon and Batara means. Maybe somebody can help me. How do they translate the word Megalopon and Batara? No, that would be the other way, but if we're saying now somebody's Mavaza Tamachalkam is Megalopanam Batira. I guess it's denigrating, but I'm not 100% sure how it fits into the word Megalopanam. I don't know.
Translating
the
one who
acts insolently towards the Torah. Megalopanam. In other words,
he's the Galopanam. Yeah, I guess so. Sounds like we tend to these days to find out the courses.
I said, we use it generically.
But we use it as a, but also these days, I don't know if I got it right, we use it as believe.
Here they use it how you behave. Correct, 100%. Right. We use apikairos theologically. They use it in the practical application of behavior.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you're using it for a person who was actually a Talmud Chacham that went off to Zera, you know?
We're using it for someone who might be a Talmud Chacham, who doesn't necessarily have to be one, who denigrates Zera.
Yeah, but again,
but it's not theological. That's what Hanan is pointing out,
right.
That it's not theological. It doesn't say he questions our belief system. He's treating Tyra without the proper respect. Now, different levels of lack of proper respect. What?
He may not know what Torah is all about.
Again, we're not dealing with the Tinnik Shanish, but we are, in our society today, we view everything through the prism of the Tinnik Shanish, but we're not dealing with that person. We're dealing with a person who knew or should know and doesn't know. That's what we're dealing with. It's not Negea, today's population at large. Totally not Negea, though. Even though there is a Reb Chaim Brisker that says, not on our translation of Apikairos, but on the theological Apikairos, and Apikairos is a fact, not a rejection. So, meaning those people who don't know aren't to blame, but they still are non-believers. They don't have the theological underpinnings, belief system that they should have. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about behavior, and that behavior only comes if a person's supposed to have that behavior, not if a person has no clue what he's talking about. That's the Gemara Vayta. Rabbi Amar Kanhani Debe Binyamin Asya. Like those by Dr. Binyamin. The Amri Maya Hanilon Rabbanon. What do the Rabbanon accomplish for us? Not what do they do for the world. What are they doing for us? The Amri, they say, They're studying halacha all the time, but halacha is pretty clear. Nobody ever said a raven was allowed to be eaten, and nobody ever said you can't eat a dove. And they're exactly what are they accomplishing with all their halacha when that halacha is pretty clear without them. Meaning questioning that there's no chiddush that they're providing us in Torah. Like, why do I need them to teach me halacha? What have they taught me that I couldn't figure out on my own? Did they ever come along and say I can eat a raven? Did they ever come along and say I can't eat a dove? So they're questioning exactly the practical, not the fact that the Rabbanan are keeping the world afloat, but what practically do I gain from being around these rabbis? What have they taught me practically? That's what seems to be this approach. They haven't told me anything that I couldn't find in my own Chumash. Which really undermines belief in Torah Shabbat Peh. Because there's many things you don't find in your Chumash that you learn from the Rabbana. Yes? I thought you were asking. They were Dr. Binyamin's family. I don't know who he was. Embedded into the Gemara. That's the Gemara by the Rabbah.
He was an Amora. I mean, anybody who was.
Well, anybody that questions.
Anybody who walked into base measures would see what the Rabbanan were doing.
No, but he says there's no practice. Meaning, you keep Shabbos, you keep Shabbos. Did any rabbi ever not let you not keep Shabbos? No, so what is. What
so
is.
You want to know what the hills of Shabbos are? You can't.
True. I mean, it's not an Amara. It's a lack of appreciation of detail, that's for sure.
In the first part, they talk about running for sitting alone by himself, or does it say the base
medrash
running by himself?
I have no idea which one you're referring to.
The previous.
There's a whole bunch of previous.
I don't know if I find it all.
Rabbi Kavi Maizu Trefas of the Bay Binyamin Kamei, when the family of Binyamin used to bring him a Shiloh and Trefas. When he passed in Mutter Amalahu, you see, this is a raven. I'm telling you it's okay. You're telling me I never teach you anything practical. You ask me a shayla and treifas, and I'm saying it's Mutter, right? I'm being Mata the raven. And when he saw that it was Aser, see, this is a dove, and I'm telling you you can't eat it. So I do make a practical difference. Rashi, the Rashi of the Urbish had to say in the Mosul Batira, you won't find this written, and the Seiferman rule. The Papa Amarki Gun, the Amar Hani Rabbana.
Yeah, but certainly these people knew that, because they were bringing
them. The Seifers.
Right.
Right, so I think what he was trying to say is that the concept that Rabbana can't change Torah is what they were saying. What do we need the rabbis that can't change Torah anyway? Is not respecting the fact that they might not be able to change Torah, but they define Torah.
He was just saying, in response, here's your insight, and here's your insight.
Exactly. Right.
It's almost like he's saying, what's good to you? You won't let me do things I want to do that are against Torah.
Well, no, they're bringing him
we
the
can't
animal,
do. So what good are you?
Yeah, but they asked him the Shiloh, right? But they're viewing the Talmid Chacham as not changing reality. You know, this is what it is. And he's trying to show them that we're not changing what's written, but we're defining what's written. And that's what Talmid Chacham do. That's the Gemara Vayit. The Papa Amarik and the Amri Hana Rabbanan. They call these rabbis, the term these rabbis is denigrating term. Now, Rashi says something very interesting. We'll see it in the second Rashi. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe Arsko will help me here. And Amar Hani Rabbanan, Kadam Shemu Aitzah Tamachachachim. That's Tamachachachim. Moshem Bazli, who's there? It's denigrating. Shailom Emer Rabbi Seinu Shabamachim Pliny. He could have said, our rabbis. These rabbis is denigrating. Vishna Achrina, and Amar Hani Rabbanan. Shumasapra Shum Davim Rabbanan Amar Hani. Moshem Gnayu. Hani. Avo Hanhu Rabbanan, Eine Gnay. Rashi differentiates between Hani and Hanhu. I am not 100% sure how in English that differentiation. One is a denigrating term, and one is more respectful. But he's referring, he doesn't say anything?
He says,
that's all he says.
No, he differs. Description of something that's away from you, or
so those and these might be different.
Yes,
so Hani and Hanu might be those and these.
Yes.
I don't know. It might be right. I have no idea. I mean, obviously, Arshul didn't want to take any gamble because he just said Hanu. So obviously, he himself is afraid to make the difference. He doesn't know. But I'm just saying that the first question is saying you're respecting. You're not saying our rabbis. You're removing yourself from it. Second question is saying that's not the issue. The issue is the way you describe them. Those, these, whatever the difference might be, and I don't know what it is.
Last question on that. I don't know.
Yes.
I got the part about the answer was, these people were asking, what does it help the Jew learning Torah? No, it's asking for a practical sense, I think.
No, they're not asking practical sense.
They understand it, that Imobisi, Imobilayla?
They don't.
They don't, so it's not giving much of an answer to them.
Again, you're coming from the same angle. We're not dealing with Tinnit Shenishvahs. We're not dealing with people that don't know better. We're dealing with people who know better and are saying the Rabbanan aren't necessary. What are they doing for the world? They're not. They're unproductive members of society. That's why the Gemara says they're Megal Rabbanan B'Tayrim, because they're denying that pasuk. Exactly. I don't know if they're denying it if you overtly, well, if you go over them and say, what do you do with this pasuk? I don't know what they'll answer you. But they live a lifestyle as if that blessing doesn't make a difference. They look down at people who are unproductive members of society, who sit and learn in Beis Medrash.
Because they themselves are not learning?
I don't know if they're not learning at all, but they definitely view Talmid HaChacham as unproductive members of society. That's what that Gemara is saying. I mean, you're asking me to make up stories. What don't you understand? There's so many people that view Talmid HaChacham as unproductive members of society.
If they're teaching Torah, these people, these are the questions, who know the Torah?
You don't know people that look down on people that learn as unproductive members of society?
Well, I do, very much.
Okay, so if those people are saying that they're not on, what's in Liberisi? What are they doing with the Liberisi?
What are they doing the rest of the time learning Torah? They themselves are learning Torah. Otherwise,
but they think that people who learn Torah all the time are non-productive members of society. That's what they think.
They're not referring to the people who sit at home and learn Torah.
No, they're not saying you shouldn't learn Torah. They're saying that Talmid Chachamim who engage in Torah, and by the way, it doesn't mean that they learn all the time, they don't earn a living. It means even if they earn a living, but they spend the bulk of their time learning, are non-productive members of society. What are they doing for the world?
I'm having trouble because these people are also learning Torah, so the moments that they're learning Torah, they're unproductive.
They understand that you learn Torah like you put on tefillin. That's how they understand. They don't understand, to them, a person spinning and learning all the time is unproductive, being non-productive. Being non-productive, not producing. We all know people like that. I mean, I do. So I'm thinking about it. The Papa Ishtli Vamakon Hani Rabbanon. The Papa once slipped and he said Hani Rabbanon, Beitza Batanisa, and he fasted. Again, he wasn't an apikiris because the Radvat says it's only one who does on a consistent basis, number one. Number two, it was a slip of a tongue, and he fasted anyway. They were fixing the mentals of the Svarim of Rabbi Yehuda. You know, some shuls have all Nevi'im and Ksuvim written in scroll, that's what they used to have, and each one had a cover, mitpachas, and they were fixing them, correcting them, re-sewing them, whatever they were doing, they were fixing them up. Himatu Megillus Esther. When they came to Megillus Esther, Amar, they said, "How Megillus Esther lamed by mitpachas? Megillus Esther is not like all the other swarm. It doesn't need a mitpachas." Now, what they should have done is turn to Yehuda and say, "Does this one need a mitpachas?" They didn't do that. The Rebbe was there, and in front of the Rebbe, they just said, "Megillus Esther doesn't need a mitpachas." Amar luhu kihai gavni nami merzi kaf karusa. That's also a lack of respect. When your Rebbe is there, you don't tell your Rebbe, this doesn't need one. You say, does this need one? You let your Rebbe make that call. You don't make the call in front of him, even though you're doing it in a way like you're giving him respect. This doesn't need one, does it? That's right. You decided you're doing him the favor of letting him say yes. You're supposed to say, does this need one? Does this not need one? He didn't say that to Carson. He just said this is also a lack of respect. Now, that's how Rashi translated. The Mashal says a lack of respect of Megillus Esther. You don't say, Megillus Esther doesn't count. It's not important. That's how the Mashal translates Rav Caruso. insulting part of Torah. It's an insult to a part of Torah. Well, Esther is part of Ksuvim, right?
So, I mean, the one that made
that's learned out from a pasuk that Esther is part of Ksuvim. So it's a machloikas whether it's part of Ksuvim or not. It's accepted that it is, and they're if you learn like Rashi, it's no problem. I understand your question with the Mashra, but that's how Rashi. The Rashi learns it was a Afkaru. Yes.
You say that's how that
has
to be respectfully, but that doesn't apply when
you're
questioning.
I'm sorry. There, because a person is trying to correct a parent, so you want to do it in the most respectful way. So that's the way one does it. Here, it's one is trying to not inform the Rebbe of the halacha, but like
you're not
correcting the Rebbe. They were sitting there and they were doing all this for him. They got there, they meant it. What they should have done is ask him, does it need one? And he didn't say it does. He didn't say anything. And they just said, this doesn't need one, does it? As if they know the answer, and they're just looking for an approval rather than asking the question.
And if your father was the one doing that?
What? Was he, see, if Rabbi Yehuda would have been saying it needs a mitzvachas, and they wanted to argue with him halacha, they could have said, needs a mitzvachas? That would have been fine. But they weren't, Rabbi Yehuda hadn't voiced his opinion whether it needs one or not. He's sitting in the base medrash, and they're taking all these things and they're fixing the mitzvachas. They get to Esther, they announce their psak that Esther doesn't need a mitzvachas. Rabbi Yehuda didn't say it did. He didn't say anything. So they should have turned to him and said, does this need a mitzvachas? If he would have said yes and they hold no, that's a legitimate halachic argument. But if it's, he didn't say anything. So don't question. Say you're answering question form. That's the basic idea.
They were not questioning they were asking it innocently, but the way they asked it,
exactly.
They said it was wrong.
Exactly. But they weren't asking. They were informing in a questioning way where they should have asked. They weren't wrong.
They weren't wrong.
It's a machloikas whether Megillah Esther needs a mitzvahs or not. You can have a machloikas. There's nothing wrong in a halachic argument with the Rebbe.
I didn't know they weren't wrong.
That might be wrong halacha l'maaseh today, but that means there were opinions that way.
Back then.
Yeah, I mean, it was a machloikas.
The
Gemara and the Megillah has a whole discussion, which Megillahs do and which Megillahs don't. Yes.
Again, paskening in front of your Rebbe
is not a good idea.
In the same city, it's already
they weren't paskening. It wasn't the shaila that was asked. All they were doing is in expressing an opinion, and they should have asked instead of expressing it as a fact. That's all. I think we're making more out of this than what's happening.
Rashi knows that it's a question. Why don't you read the Gemara? That they made a statement. Amagillah says to Lomai, Bar Mitzvah, that it doesn't need it. They made a statement. That was the problem.
So I think he wouldn't have said, Kagami Nami Mechziti Afkarusa. Also, as if it's a chiddush that this is an afkarusa. This way, they said it in a questioning way, so they can say, we didn't paskin, we were asking. He said, yeah, the way you worded the question is also wrong. I think that's the difference. Your way would not have been a chiddush that it's an afkarusa. Your Rebbe's there, you'll make an announcement of halacha. If your Rebbe's not there, it's one thing. Your Rebbe's there, they'll make the announcement. But here they weren't announcing. They were questioning. So, why is that an afkarusa? That's the chiddush.
That answers my
question. Nami mechzik afkarusa. Rashi kimatim gilus esther l'sakam et mitzvachas. Ami, they said, ha megilus esther loy boi mitzvachas. Come blot some boi, and listen to question. Ami, they reviewed the habade loy boi, tzicha mitzvachas, gana cheres. But listen, genayu, it's not the right way of speaking. Ha megilus esther loy boi mitzvachas, gana cheres. Kach, tzvicha, ein et tzvicha, does it either not mean? One who refers to his Rebbe in his name without putting Rebbe in front of him. Now it's a machloikas whether this is a question when the Rebbe is not there or even when the Rebbe is there. Shach paskens that even saying Rebbe somebody to the Rebbe is wrong. To the Rebbe you just say Rebbe. When you're talking to the Rebbe, you're talking in front of the Rebbe, you say Rebbe. You don't say, oh, Reb Shmuel, to Reb Shmuel. If he's your Rebbe, you say Rebbe. Reb Shmuel, that's what the Shabbos. The Pitzkei Tshuva argues, means many Achrayim that say that you can even address your Rebbe by his name to put a title of respect in front of it. So you can go to Reb Shmuel and say, Reb Shmuel, I'd like to ask you a question. Or Rebbe, Myri Rebbe Reb Shmuel, I'd like to ask you a question. As long as you put a respectful title, I don't know if Reb would qualify. Rebbe, I'd like to ask my Rebbe Reb Shmuel, that would be fine according to the Pitzkei Tshuva. Shachlor is that in front of your Rebbe, you should never say his name. When you're referring to your Rebbe, you say, my Rebbe Reb Shmuel. That would be permissible, the Ramah says. You can add Myri Rebbe. But if you say, my Rebbe Shmuel said, that's Kari Rabbi Bishma is an Afkarusa. Dr. Rashi, we say, in front of him or not in front of him? In front of him, it's a Machlekes, the Shach, and the Pitzchei Tshuva brings many Achrayim to argue. So I guess one does that he has what to rely on. And not in front of him, the Ramah says the Pharisees. If you say, Myri Rebbe, it's fine. They have a question on the tour, who calls his father Adaini Avi Harash. Mashal asks, Harash is Rab Asher. So why is that? He's not acknowledging him as Rebbe Asher, my Rebbe. He says Adaini Avi Harash. Or the tour, the Rush himself says Reb Meir. Shemati Reb Meir. He doesn't say Mi Myri Rebbe Reb Meir, the Meram Rutenberg. So someone to say that in writing it doesn't apply as much as in speaking, and some say, at least for the Rush, that he meant to say the one is my leader. He didn't mean to refer to him as Rabbeinu Asher. To him, he was my Rush. He was my head. That's what the Torah meant when he wrote the Rush. He didn't mean to call him just Reb. He meant to say my leader. They talk about this. The Mashal talks about it. Again, Lemaisa, if you write Myri Rebbe, if you call him Myri Rebbe or Rebbe, it's fine. Cut the Gemara right. The Amar of Nach, Amar of Yechonim, they ma nenesh Gechazu, why was Gechazu punished? Gechazi, but they should kara rat la rabbi bishmai. Now the question is, what punishment? He already had Sarat when this happened. So someone will learn that why did Gechazi lose his Eilam Haba? Meaning, he definitely got Sarat because of a story that happened to Navi. But why did he lose his Eilam Haba? So they want to say, why did he lose his Eilam Haba? Because he had no respect for Elisha. He referred to Elisha by name. He didn't say, my Rebbe. He said, oh, Elisha did. And therefore, he lost his Eilam Haba. He did it on a constant basis. Others want to say that Neiman Nenesh B'Tzaras, meaning we look at his behavior that we see afterwards, and we assume he behaved that way earlier also, and that was the cause of him getting Tzaras, together with the story of Naaman. Because he was a person that didn't have proper respect for his Rebbe. Others want to say this was the chait that led him down the road. How did he end up doing such a terrible chait? He ended up doing the terrible chait because he didn't have the proper respect for Elisha. That's how some want to learn. So pick your way, either way. Dr. Rashi, no Rashi. Shenemar vayeimar Gechazi Adoni HaMelech. It seems that Gechazi showed up and the king was interested in hearing stories. He was telling the king stories about Elisha. And all of a sudden, the lady who walked in, who Elisha the Machayer, her son, the lady from Shunem, and Elisha says, and Gechazi says, Zaisahisha v'zabinah, Shehechya Elisha. This is her. And he didn't say, Shehechya, Myri Elisha, Rebbe Elisha, Elisha. And therefore, what's the name again? Now, we refer to Elisha as Elisha Navi, but we don't say Myri Rebbe Elisha either, even though he definitely taught us. But I think the pshat is, A, we say Hanavi, and second of all, I don't know if he's a direct Rebbe, that would be a chiyuv. We say Elio Hanavi. Or Elio said, we don't say Rebbe Elio, maybe Rebbe Elio. So we do refer to people in Tanakh, Shlaima. We don't say maybe Rebbe Shlaima, maybe Rebbe David. So I guess people in Tanakh, but he was a Talmud of Elisha, should have been different. We'll continue mentioning.